Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some. A man is born, he's a man of means. Then along come two, they got nothing but the genes. But they got different strokes it takes, different strokes it takes, different strokes to move the world. Everybody's got a special kind of story. Everybody finds a way to shine. It don't matter that you got not a lot. So what? They'll have theirs and you'll have yours and I'll have mine. And together we'll be fine. Cause it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
Morning, Daddy.
Kimberly, Arnold, Willis.
Morning.
Aw, Daddy, I said I'd make breakfast while Mrs. Garrett was away.
Well, I thought I'd give you a little surprise.
Oh, thanks for having mercy on our stomachs.
Why are you always knocking my cooking?
You mean you've never tasted it?
Hey, gang, how about helping me set the table, Kimberly?
Arnold, will you put away that postcard Ruthie sent you? I think you must have read that 8 times.
11.
Arnold can get over that pipe, she says. Oh, I miss you, Arnold. You're adorable.
You've been reading my mail.
You couldn't help it, Arnold. It's a postcard.
Yep.
If you had any class, you wouldn't look.
But, Daddy, all the writing's out in the open.
So is the writing on the subway walls, but I don't read it.
I do.
Oh, so that's how you've been developing such an interesting vocabulary.
Let's eat, said Willis, quickly changing the subject.
Hold it. Nobody eats till my guest gets here. We'll need another place, Kimberly.
Sure. Who's your guest, Daddy?
He's a friend of mine from the club, Ted Green. He's picking me up to play tennis.
You're going to play tennis in that outfit?
Is it mixed double?
Don't worry, I only wear this when I serve. You get it? See, you serve in tennis and you serve food. Forget it, said Daddy Drummond, quickly changing the subject.
Well, I think you better get rid of the apron.
Yeah, but make sure you got your shorts on underneath.
All right, you clown. Save your jokes for Ted Green. Maybe he'll put you on television.
Hey, is that your friend who runs a big TV station?
That's him.
Oh, yeah. He put on some great shows. One of them got canceled before the first commercial.
You know, I love watching the Johnny Carson show. Could Mr. Green give me his autograph?
Hold it. Johnny Carson is way past your bedtime.
Strike that question.
All right, from now on, it's lights out right after the cartoons. Right after the pig says, "Diddy, diddy, 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 that's all." No eating, anybody. Good morning, Ted.
Well, that's a cute outfit, Mrs. Garrett.
Listen, even with this apron on, I can still beat you 6-love, 6-love.
Truthfully, I should have canceled our game altogether. Having a lot of problems with my highest-rated daytime show.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it. I know it's a soap opera, Ted, but really, how much trouble can you heap onto one person? I mean, amnesia, a heart attack, diabetes, amputation. And after all that, you gave her hemorrhoids.
Well, she can take it. She's only 16. No, my problem isn't with the soap opera. It's my talk show, New York Live. The host wants to quit.
Well, listen, come and have something to eat. I hate to see you have heartburn on an empty stomach. Oh, meet my family. This is Kimberly, Arnold, and Willis. This is Mr. Green.
Hi.
How you doing, Mr. Green?
How you doing?
Sure nice meeting you kids. Phil, I hope you don't mind. I left your number with my office in case they want to get a hold of me.
Fine.
We're desperately trying to get a new host for that talk show.
Talk show? Hey, how about Ruthie's father, Mr. D? He'd be terrific for the show.
Arnold, that's a wonderful idea. Larry Alder. He would be just terrific for your show, Ted.
Larry Alder?
Yeah.
Why is that name so familiar?
Well, he had a very successful radio talk show in L.A. before he moved to Portland, Oregon.
Of course, I remember him. He used to close his show by saying, that's awful.
I do it better. But he is a terrific guy. And he'd be a new face at your station.
A new face? I like that. Good thinking, Arnold.
Yeah, that's a wonderful idea, man.
You can be proud of yourself, Arnold.
Yeah?
Well, that's not nice to brag, but as long as somebody does it for me, I guess it's okay.
Ted, why don't I call Larry right now and just see if he's interested?
Huh? Fine, do that.
Okay, go ahead and eat, kids.
Oh, my stomach thought you'd never ask.
Let's see, it's 9 o'clock here, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's 6 in the morning in Portland. Well, this is important. It's Phil.
Who?
Phil. Phil Drummond. I'm calling from New York.
Are you out of your mind, Phil? You know what time it is? It's... It's 6 in the morning. My hair is still asleep.
Listen, Larry. Wake up your hair. This is very important. It's about taking over a talk show in New York.
Thanks, Phil, but listen, I gave up a big radio show in L.A. to come here. Fresh air, no pressure, nice people. I've had it with big city life.
This isn't radio, Larry. This is television, big-time TV.
Television?
That's right. We may soon be hearing... Here's Larry.
Has a nice ring to it. Oh, no, though, Phil.
What's the matter with you, Larry? Don't you think you're as good as Mike and Merv and Johnny, huh?
Why drag the Pointer Sisters into this?
He really is funny, Ted.
Who are you talking to, Phil?
Well, that's Ted Green, my friend here. He's the man who wants you to come to New York.
Ted Green, the big TV honcho, the biggest exec in television, the one they're always writing about?
That's the one.
Never heard of him.
Listen, Larry, don't blow this opportunity. It's too good.
Yeah, you may be right.
I know I am. And listen, bring the kids along. I'm sure Ted will pick up the tab. Yeah. And, oh, and bring your producer, Morgan, too. No? Larry, is Morgan still as pretty as ever? Yeah. Okay, I'll put Ted on. Ted Green, Larry Alder.
Hello, Larry.
Hi there, Ted.
Larry, can you come to New York immediately?
Sure.
Oh, that'll be great. Listen, don't worry about the expenses. I'll take care of everything as long as you fly tourist and stay at a cheap hotel. He laughed. He does have a sense of humor. All right, then. I'm looking forward to seeing you here in New York, Larry, and I'll fill you in on all the details when you get here.
Mr. Green, can I talk to Ruthie, please?
Say hi for me, Arnold.
Me too.
Larry, don't hang up yet. Arnold wants to talk to Ruthie.
Sure thing, Ted. Good talking to you.
You too.
Ruthie! Ruthie, telephone, get your little butt out of bed. You're not Ruthie. You're Diane.
Ann? That's right. Hey, what's all the yelling about? I'm trying to study for my exams.
At 6 in the morning?
Dad, my midterm exams start tomorrow, and I haven't studied all year. I gotta start sometime.
Well, I'm very proud of you, honey, for not waiting until the last minute. It's Arnold, Ruthie.
Arnold?
Yeah, calling from New York.
Hi, chubby cheeks.
Arnold, don't yell.
I have to. It's long distance.
No, Arnold, I can hear you. How are you?
And Willis and Kimlin said hi, and are you going to come to New York with your father?
Well, I didn't know he was going to New York.
Don't you two ever talk?
Well, sure. I mean, just last week I said to him, where's my allowance?
I got your postcard. I was going to write you a long letter.
What?
Yeah, but now that I got you on the phone, I can just tell you that long letter. Just a second, I'll get a check.
No. You don't. Just say goodbye, Arnold.
Goodbye, Arnold. I mean, Ruthie.
You can do all the talking you want when she gets here.
Oh, that's okay. You know what, Willis? She'll probably be real pleased with me for thinking up the idea of getting her father out here.
Yeah. Maybe she'll give you a big kiss.
No way. These lips are reserved for sipping, munching, and whistling.
Daddy, can we come to the airport with you to pick up the Alders?
Oh, I don't think there's enough room in our car. See, there's Larry and Ruthie and Diane and his producer Morgan, all their luggage, and us.
Arnold doesn't have to sit. We can dangle it from the rearview mirror.
Or he can sit on the hood and be a radiator ornament.
Well, thanks. I mean, you know, I can just curl up in the glove compartment.
Larry!
Phil!
Hey. Mr.
Phil!
Morgan!
Morgan!
Willis!
Morgan!
Mr. Alger!
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful. Arnold, Morgan, Ruthie, Willis, Kimberly, chair, house, luggage, table, phone, stairs.
You are as crazy as ever, you big lug son of a gun.
Big lug son of a gun.
Big lug son of a gun.
Ruthie, where's Diane?
Oh, she had an exam. She couldn't come.
I was just about to leave to pick you up at the airport.
We caught an earlier plane.
I'm sorry that you had to take a taxi.
Well, that's okay. It was $22 with the tip.
What tip?
If you were watching Smarty Pants, I gave the man 35 cents.
Oh.
Diamond Jim Brady lives.
We are delighted that you're all going to stay with us.
Oh, gee, I don't know, Phil. I mean, take a look at this place. Mr. Green said we were supposed to stay in a cheap hotel. I don't think we can afford these rates.
You don't have to worry, you know. I take credit cards.
How about a discount for cash?
Okay, kids, everybody help with the luggage,
all
huh?
All right. You'll be in Mrs. Gator, too, Morgan. She's away. Ruthie, you'll be in my room. I'll be right back.
Okay.
There we go. I'll help you out with your luggage here, Ruthie. Boy, you got some heavy underwear.
Let a man handle that, blood.
Works every time.
You know, this is some place you got here, Phil. If God had money, he'd live like this. Son of a gun.
You big lug.
I think they're going through their second childhood.
Yeah, I better order in some Pampers.
Hey, you're bunking in with me, buddy. Let's go.
Oh, Phil, listen. Mm-hmm. I get kind of a bad back. Could you help me with the bag?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Works every time.
Isn't it terrific, Ruthie?
Isn't what terrific, Arnold?
Well, if your father gets that job, you'll move here and live in New York and never go back to Portland.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was all my idea.
Your idea?
Yep. I was the one that told Mr. Green about your dad.
You mean you thought up this whole thing?
All by myself.
Thanks a lot, Arnold.
Oh, sure.
You just ruined my life.
Say what?
Well, it's after my father's audition tomorrow. They'll probably offer him a big contract with a lot of money. And then he'll become rich and famous, and it'll be all your fault.
Well, excuse me. Maybe I can come up with another idea that'll make him a broken-down whiner.
You don't understand. You see, Portland's the only place I want to live for the rest of my life.
Well, how long you figure that'll be?
Well, I don't know. Until I'm an old lady, I guess.
Well, move to New York. You'll be an old lady much faster.
But all my friends are in Portland. I mean, there's Tracy and Bitsy and Peachy.
They all sound like breakfast cereals. Well, anyway, me and Kimberly and Willis will be your friends.
Well, I know, Arnold, and I like you guys being my friends. But Portland's my home, and I don't want to move away.
Oh, come on, Ruthie. Moving isn't hard. We moved from Harlem, and I got used to Park Avenue overnight.
This is different, Arnold. I mean, it'd be moving to a whole other city. We've even been saving to buy a house in Portland. I don't want to live in New York.
Look, you could be a beautiful new worm in the Big Apple. This is where the action is. Nothing ever happens in Portland.
Oh, yeah? Well, you should have been there last year when they had the big rancid butter scandal. I'll just have to wait and see what happens with that, I guess.
Well, look on the bright side. If your father gets that job, maybe he'll get fired.
No, Arnold, Daddy'll double-cross us and be a hit.
Sorry, Ruthie, I thought it'd make you happy.
Oh, it's okay, Arnold. And it does make me happy to know that you did this just so you could see me. I mean, well, I love you for it.
Don't take it the wrong way, but I love you too.
I understand.
Hey, you've got a good idea. Why don't we go tell your dad how you feel?
No. No way. I absolutely forbid it.
Maybe it wasn't such a good idea.
Arnold, you gotta promise not to say a word to anybody. I don't want anything getting in the way of my father's career. I'll just have to suffer in silence for the rest of my life. Oh, like Betty Davis in Dark Victory.
Dark Victory? I didn't know Betty Davis was one of my people.
Ruthie, I'll show you our room now.
Oh, thanks.
Listen, my room's really terrific, and Mrs. Garrett must be a wonderful cook.
Oh, she is. How did you know?
Well, who else would have a statue of Julia Child with a clock in the stomach?
Oh, Ruthie, you're just going to love living in New York.
What's that supposed to mean, Arnold?
Oh, nothing. I just always uh-oh when there's guests in the house.
You're a strange little kid. Come on, Ruthie.
Come, Arnold.
Hi, Daddy.
Hi, Mr.
Mr. You.
Phil, I don't mean to sound ungrateful, but I can only sleep on the left side.
Well, I have the same problem. Just try the right one night.
It won't work. You try sleeping on the right.
Listen, for the sake of the children, why don't you two see a marriage counselor?
Willis, I need to talk to you.
Mr. May.
That's enough, Coleman. You'll be the only bald kid in the ninth grade.
Okay, Arnold. What do you want?
Well, I need your advice.
Okay, little brother, step right up here to the advice department, okay? And lay it on me.
Well, I can't mention any names, but one person did something wrong to the other person, even though they wanted to help the other person. And the other person knows that the other person really doesn't mean it, and the other person feels awful.
Okay, Arnold, what'd you do wrong?
How did you know it was me?
Because if there's any trouble laying around, you're the first person to step in it.
Well, just in case you made a good guess, what do you do if you did something you're sorry for?
It's easy. You just undo it.
But how do you undo it when you just did it?
What I mean is, whatever you made happen, I just make the opposite happen.
The opposite, huh?
You got it.
Sounds pretty good to me. I hope I grow up to be as smart as you someday.
Nothing's impossible.
You know, all that combing sure sharpens your head.
You mean my brain?
No, I mean your head.
When I agreed to this, I thought it was an audition, not an actual show. I mean, I never should have said yes. Look, with all my years in radio, I never worked in front of a live audience. Except once, when I did a eulogy for a big funeral. Probably get about as many laughs today. I never should have said yes to this.
Now, look, Larry, relax. You're going to do just fine.
Sure you are.
Yeah, I guess you're right. What's 300 people?
Forget the 300 people, right?
Right.
Right.
You got millions out there watching you.
Millions. Millions. Thanks a lot. My heart just dropped into my jockey shorts.
Oh, Larry, Morgan didn't mean that.
Mean what?
Well, that you should be nervous because there are millions of people watching, or your career could be on the line, or that it's live TV and if you really make a fool of yourself, or is this, somebody stop me.
Where did you study psychology? Devil's Island?
Larry, you're going to knock him dead. The rehearsal was sensational.
I never should have agreed to all this.
What are you talking about? You're going to be great. Who is that lovely person?
Philip Drummond. Just trying to lighten the mood here.
I'm Morgan Winslow, Mr. Green, and I produce Larry's radio show in Portland, and I'd certainly love to produce his TV show. Now, I've been watching everything all day here, and I'm a fast learner.
Sure like to discuss your fast learning over my expense account sometime.
I'd love to.
I am dying, and they are playing the dating game.
Larry, don't be nervous just because Meadowlark Lemon hasn't shown up yet.
My special guest hasn't shown up yet?
Thanks, Ted. He needed that.
Well, there's nothing to worry about. He'll be here. And when he comes, he'll be just as smooth off the basketball court as he is on.
Hey, Mr. Green, how
Morgan,
would you...
Morgan, how about watching the show with me in the booth?
Well, thank you. Trying to keep Larry from being nervous is making me nervous. Coffee, you big lug.
Thanks a bunch. I never should have agreed to all this. With all your friends, you had to call me.
Did Meadowlark Lemon get here yet?
At two, Rufus. What did you hear about that?
When stage manager was showing us around the studio.
We heard it in the booth.
Mr. Arnold looks all right to me.
Well, what does that mean, Arnold?
Well, in the booth, they said he was falling apart.
No, he isn't, kids.
Well, I stood up for you, Daddy. I told him you always look like you're falling apart.
It's my little confidence builder.
Look, Larry has a right to be concerned. If Meadowlark Lemon doesn't get here, well, it's going to be some show. Larry will be out there all by himself, nobody to talk to, egg all over his face, and then let's get out of here.
No. You stay, I'll get out of here.
Larry, you are going to be great. Now, I really mean that. I'm rooting for you. You're going to do just fine.
Okay, thanks, Phil. Okay, wish me luck, kids.
Good luck.
Come on, kids, let's get to our seat before the show starts.
I think I'll watch Daddy from here, Mr. Drummond.
I'll stay with her, Dan.
Okay.
Did you hear what Mr. D said? If Meadowlark Lemon doesn't show up, they'll call the show off. And then you'll get what you want. You won't have to move here.
No chance. Here it comes.
Okay, Mr. Lemon, your dressing room's right there.
Say, man, I'm sorry I'm late.
No problem. You still got a few minutes.
I got held up in a crowd signing autographs. Oh. Takes long when I have to beg them. Hi, kids.
Hi.
Want my autograph?
No.
What about a basketball?
Sure. Wow. Can I see your hand? I sure hope my legs get as long as your fingers.
Nothing wrong with being short, kid. A wise man said that to me.
Who?
Will Chamberlain.
No way the show will get called off now, Arnold.
Yes, there is. All I need is some hammer and nails. I'll nail his door shut.
Arnold, don't be ridiculous.
Well, we could get a pickup, tie it to the dressing room, and haul him to New Jersey.
Why don't we just tie him to a rocket and launch him to the moon?
Now you're getting the idea, kid.
Well, I know you mean well, but I don't want my father to bomb out and be embarrassed. You understand, don't you?
Yeah, I guess. I'll just give Mr. Lemon his ball back.
Got your suit here, Mr. Lemon.
I'm on the phone. Hang on.
Arnold, see that Mr. Lemon gets this, will you? He has to work for the show.
Okay.
Thank you.
Here's your chance to undo what you did, Big Mouth.
Okay, quiet, please, and here we go, Mr. Alder, in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hi there, and welcome to New York Live. My name is, thank you. My name is Larry Alder, and if my face seems strange to you, don't let it bother you. It had the same effect on my mother. Okay. I'm new here in New York, and frankly, I love it. The people here are very friendly. Just the other day in the airport, a gentleman offered to carry my wallet for me. And I said, no, thank you, and he immediately put it back into my pants. I don't
don't mean to imply that there's a lot of crime in New York, but while taking a tour through the New York Harbor, I did see two guys trying to mug the Statue of Liberty. One guy yelled, "Hey, I got the purse, you get the torch." Hey, we got a really great show for you today. We have as our guest that clown prince of basketball, Mr. Meadowlark Levin. We have Dr. Catherine Watkins, the author of a bestseller, who's going to discuss her book with us. And now I'd like you to meet our first guest, a man who is starting a new religion here in the New York area, Mr. Carl Sabicki. Well, it's nice to meet you, Carl. A lot of people can't wear a chicken suit. Before we get smothered in feathers, why don't you just sit down and we'll have at it here.
1 minute to your spot, Mr. Lemon.
1 minute? What about my suit?
Oh! Oh, no, Arnold, what did I just tell you? Now you ruined the show for my father.
What? He slept on the ball.
What happened?
Somebody get a long stretcher.
I'll get Dr. Watson.
I didn't mean to slam dunky, Mr. Lemon.
Ladies and gentlemen, a big round of applause for Mr. Sabicki. It's been a real pleasure talking to you, Carl. Thank you. Man is actually molting all over the stage. In any event, now for our super special guest, a giant among athletes and a giant among clowns and a giant on the basketball court, Mr. Meadowlark Levin. Gee, Mr. Lemon, I thought you'd be much taller.
There's been an accident, Mr. Alder. Mr. Lemon tripped over his basketball.
Was he hurt? Oh, boy. Well, we just got the sign from backstage, folks, so if any luck at all, Mr. Lemon should be out here in a minute or two. Hey, Arnold, as long as you're out here, why don't I interview you for the audience?
Audience? What you talking about, Mr. Alder?
That audience, Arnold.
Mouth, don't fail me now.
For those of you folks who just tuned in, I've been talking with my little pal here, Arnold Jackson, who's filling in for Meadowlark Levin.
Am I still on TV?
Yeah, but don't worry about it, pal. I mean, it's, you know, perfectly natural for someone who's facing the cameras for the first time to be a little weak in the knees.
Well, my knees are okay, since I'm not too sure about my bladder.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Ben, you just sit back and relax, and I'll bring out our next guest, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, a nice warm round of applause for our next guest, a lady who wrote this book, A Doctor Discusses Living, Dr. Catherine Watkins. Excuse me, but I think the tree is trying to tell me something. What is it, tree?
Dr. Watkins is taking care of Meadowlark Levin.
Thank you, tree. Well, it looks like Dr. Watkins can't be out here either. Oh, boy. Listen, just for the heck of it, how many of you folks out there would like to meet the tree? Ladies and gentlemen, this tree is none other than my youngest daughter, Ruthie Alder. Come on out, Ruthie.
Hi.
Honey, why don't you just sit down, okay?
Oh, okay.
There you go. Charlie, how much time do I have to fill?
11 minutes.
11 minutes. Oh, that's great. 11 minutes to fill, and my television career is at stake, and my only guests are a former tree and a questionable bladder.
Please, don't turn off your sets, folks, because my dad is very funny, and he knows a lot of great jokes. Like, Dad goes, George Washington crossed the Delaware twice without taking a bath. He was a dirty double-crosser.
How much time left now, Charlie?
Okie dokie. Tell you what, we'll take a little break here for a commercial and be right back with more of the best of Larry Alder.
Okay, all clear.
Look, you guys stay here. I'm going to go see how Metal Arc is.
Hi.
Good, you're okay. How's your head?
Fine. The doctor told me to stay off it for a while.
Think you're in shape to go out?
Sure, Coach. I get those points back.
What points?
Well, I'll drive in for a layup, get you a couple of slam dunks. We'll blow the Lakers right off the court. Look at the pretty birds.
Oh, boy, you're in bigger trouble than I am.
Everything's working out great, Ruthie. Your father's going right down the drain, and you're going right back to Portland.
Well, I don't want my dad to go down the drain, Arnold. I mean, this is his big chance.
You want to go back to Portland, don't you?
Well, of course I do. But I still want Dad to get the job. I mean, even if I don't want Dad to get the job, because if Dad gets the job, then he'll be happy, and then I'll be happy. Except I won't be happy for me, I'll be happy for him. As long as he's happy, okay?
I forgot the question.
Stand by, Mr. Alder.
Okay. Okay, here we go again, kids.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Hi, and welcome back to New York Live. Seated next to me are my daughter Ruthie and her friend Arnold.
Hi.
And this is Ruthie and Arnold's first appearance on television. Seated next to them is Larry Alder, who is making his last appearance on television.
Oh, that's a funny one, Dad. You're going to be a big hit, isn't he, folks? Yay!
That's my daughter.
That's my pop.
I'm not a relative.
Well, now that I'm out here on my own with Ken and Barbie, I guess we really don't need the questions from Metal Lark Lemon and Dr. Watkins. Hey, I'll tell you what. I think we got a little something better here. We've got two terrific, interesting, intelligent kids.
Where?
Right here. Arnold, listen. Now, if you could live in any city in the world, what city would it be?
New York.
Why would you want to live there?
Because all my clothes are there.
Well, so much for Arnold. Ruthie, how do you feel about New York?
Oh, it's great, Dad. Oh, I got a joke. Did you ever hear the one about the one-armed fisherman? He caught a fish this big.
Oh, boy, am I in trouble.
I got another fish joke, Dad.
Honey, let's just get back to the questions, okay? Now, Arnold, what would you like to be when you grow up?
Well, I was thinking of being a talk show host just like you.
Thank you.
Until today.
See, I told you, he's a pretty smart kid. Ruthie, how about you?
Well, I think maybe I'd like to be a ballerina. Or maybe a quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. What's so funny?
You a quarterback? Women ain't built for quarterbacking.
Says who?
Me. He just said I was intelligent.
Let me just ask you something. Now, if women aren't built for quarterback, right, what are women built for?
I'm too young to answer that.
Boy, Arnold, I'm not going to marry anybody like you. I think a woman could be a good quarterback out on the field and a good lover in the bedroom.
Ruthie, do you have another fish joke? Ah, heavens to Betsy, there's our theme, saved by the old theme. So you folks will have to wait a while to hear the next fish joke. Anyway, will Ruthie Alder find happiness in the huddle of the Pittsburgh Steelers? Will Arnold Jackson find happiness and know what a woman is built for? And will Larry Alder find an audience that has been as wonderful and warm as you people? Hey, take care and love each other, all right?
Okay, clear, and thank you.
Hey, Larry.
Larry, that was wonderful.
Morgan, just book reservations for the first flight to Portland before they run me out of town.
No, it wasn't that bad, Larry.
Come on.
Why, in fact, it was sort of very good. Just to be on the safe side, I'll book a flight for tomorrow.
I wouldn't book those reservations just yet if I were you. Larry, you were great.
Like in terrific, like in sensational, like I got the job?
Yes.
Hey, wonderful.
Can't believe it. Of course, it all depends on how well you're doing the testing.
Testing?
Morgan, what are you doing for dinner tonight?
Oh, well, I,
Listen, Mr. Green, I'm not busy. We could go to dinner and talk about the testing.
Well, we're going to run the show for a cross-section audience this evening, and if they like it, you're in. Stay by the phone.
They should have finished that dumb testing by now.
Yeah, they should have finished that dumb testing by now.
I wonder why Mr. Green hasn't called yet.
Yeah, I wonder why Mr. Green hasn't called yet.
Ruthie, will you and little Sorecco knock it off?
Well, we're just trying to help you worry, Dad.
Honey, I don't need any help. I'm doing a great job all by myself.
Arnold, he's gonna get the job. I just feel it in my bones. I'm never gonna see Portland again.
I'm the one to blame.
Yeah?
When Mr. Green said he needed a host for New York Live, I just shouldn't have said to get your father. That's all my fault.
Sure is.
You don't have to agree with me.
Waiter. Stepping out, Mr. D?
Going out on the town.
Boy, you are some friend, Phil. While I'm sitting here sweating out my career, you're going to go out and have a ball.
I am your friend. I'm doing this for you. I mean, won't you feel a lot better sitting around waiting, knowing that only one of us is having a lousy time?
No.
I knew you'd understand.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. I'm ready, Phil.
Morgan, you look beautiful.
Phil, you're going out with Morgan.
I know.
Morgan, you're going out with Phil.
I know.
Together? All evening?
Except when I go to the ladies' room.
Hey. Hey, I'm not breaking up something here, am I?
Well, of course not.
I mean, do you date Morgan? Are you two going together? Hey. You and Morgan,
Never.
Never? Well, you really do need help.
There we go, my dear.
Sun residence. Yes, he is. It's Mr. Green.
Hi, Mr. Green. How'd the testing go? Uh-huh. They like Arnold? And Ruthie did great. That's swell. Fish story was a big boffo. Look, Mr. Green, how about the other fella? The tall one with the boyish charm? What? Hey, that's great news, Mr. Green. Right. Hey, folks, you're looking at the next host of New York Live.
Hey, that's great.
Oh, Morgan, I'm sorry. You're going to be the producer.
Oh, Larry! This calls for a celebration.
Right. We'll go out and celebrate. Bye, Larry.
Shouldn't we take him along?
Just to pay the check?
Good thinking.
Honey, we'll do our celebrating tomorrow.
And don't forget, Kimberly's in charge.
Good night, Ruthie. Good night, Arnold.
You look terrific, Morgan.
Yeah, but you sure don't look like no quarterback.
Good night.
I'm real happy for you, Dad. Have a good time.
Yeah. Night, good night, guys.
Hey, Ruthie. I'm sorry.
I know. Diane, do you hear what I just said?
Yeah, I heard you. Dad got the job.
Well, yeah. Isn't that terrific? We're going to live right here in the Big Apple, in New York City. And they got millions of people right on the block, Diane. Oh, it's terrific. Four blocks down, there's even a tree.
Ruthie, what's wrong?
Well, nothing's wrong.
I know you. When you get that squeaky sound in your voice, you're miserable.
Okay, something's wrong. I think I'm gonna die. My life is over.
Now you sound more like yourself.
You should see how excited Dad is. So we can't tell him how we feel, okay?
Yeah, but I don't want to leave Portland. I mean, I'm practically going steady with four guys.
Well, how about me? We have to change schools again. Just when I got my math teacher in my hip pocket.
Are you going to tell Dad that?
No. What am I going to tell him?
He'll think of something. You're the con artist in this family.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Here they come. He'll call you tomorrow. I love you. Goodbye.
River by the stream.
Where I first, not the second, but the first.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, look who we ran into at Papa Leone's. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Ruthie, Meadowlark's going to open a sporting goods store in Portland.
Hey, no kidding.
Yeah, and on opening day, we're going to sell basketballs with my autographs for $8.95. Without my autograph, $9.95.
Speaking of Portland, the lieutenant and I are just about to do our famous victory routine.
Head for the hills, are going to do one of their army routines.
Hold it. Ladies and gentlemen, please be seated. Lieutenant.
Sergeant.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Shine on, up in the sky. Hello, curly-headed stranger. My name is Swami River.
Want your palm red?
I'd love it.
You got it.
I ain't had no love since January, February, June, or July.
Some night.
Some night.
Some moon.
Some moon.
Some do.
Some do, but I don't. Shine on, harvest moon. For me and my moon. For me and my moon. For me and my big lug,
son of a gun.
Gal.
All right.
Yeah.
I thought we did that terribly well. How about an encore?
No.
Okie dokie. How about you, Meadowlark?
You sing one more, and I'm out the door. Well, I think I better split, Larry. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You too, Morgan.
Thank you. Hey, Meadowlark.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, now who's going to help me clean up?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's past my bedtime.
Listen, I'll help Kimberly, although I am a big-time producer.
Ooh.
Well, good night, everybody.
Night.
Good night, Phil. Listen, honey, it's getting pretty late. Time to hit the sack.
Okay,
night, you guys.
Night.
Did you hear what he said? That makes you a New Yorker, too, if you don't tell your dad how you feel right now.
No. And if you tell him, well, I hope a lizard eats your gizzard and then a whale eats your tail. Good night.
Good night. I'm sorry I clobbered your life.
That's okay, Arnold.
Hey, Arnold, are you all right?
Another night like this and I'll be gray before I'm 10.
Well, you want to tell me about it?
Yeah, but I can't tell anybody, especially Mr. Alden.
Oh, why not?
Well, because I don't want no lizard chomping on my gizzard.
Oh. Hey, Arnold, you think Mr. Alder's jealous because I was going out with Mr. Drummond?
No.
Oh. Well, is it something to do with Mr. Alder's TV show?
Yeah, you could say that.
Ruthie's been awfully quiet. Is it how the girls feel about it?
Yeah, you could say that.
They like the idea of living in New York, don't they?
You can say that, but you'd be wrong.
Uh-oh. That's it. They don't like it, do they? They don't want to leave Portland.
Now, how do you like that? You guessed the whole thing, and I didn't have to say a word.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Dad.
I just had a long talk with Morgan, who... just had a short talk with Arnold.
Arnold? Don't listen to a word he said, Dad. We'll get to like New York. We'll even learn the language.
Honey, sit down. Look, I want to tell you a little secret. Now, when this whole television host thing came up, I mean, I wasn't too crazy about the idea myself at first. And then today, when I got in the studio and there was the audience and the lights came on and the people started laughing and... Now, this may sound corny, but it gets to you.
Oh, I know, Dad. It'll be great.
Well, see, what I'm trying to tell you is, honey, that I know how you and Diane feel about leaving and everything. I mean, I know it. I understand it. But you see, honey, you're 13 and your sister is 16 and you're just going to have to make new friends.
Sure, Dad.
I mean, you're gonna love living in this city. I'm going to get us a really fancy apartment. A door with a whole bunch of locks on it.
Okay.
Of course, we'll have to make some adjustments. I mean, a big-time TV host, it's a lot of work. I won't be with you guys as much as I used to be. I mean, you understand that?
Oh, sure, Dad.
I mean, you know, there's going to be writers, meetings, sessions with the press, producers, stuff like that. There may be some Saturdays and Sundays when you and Diane will even have to be by yourself. I mean, those things happen.
Sure they do.
I'm really going to make it in the big time, honey. I'm going to get what I've always wanted. And I know it's going to be hard on you guys, but you'll adjust to it. You'll see. I mean, really, honey, this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to us. Ruthie?
Yeah.
When I got the divorce from your mother in Los Angeles and I left the radio show and all, what did I say?
You said you wanted to get away from the rat race.
Yeah. Well, the rat is lining up at the starting line again.
I know, Dad.
I don't believe me. I got a great little radio show back there. Two kids that I love. All the time in the world I want to spend with them. Honey?
Hmm?
Let's go back home.
Oh, Dad.
Listen, I couldn't sleep. The truth has got to come out. I don't care what happens to my gizzard.
Arnold. Listen, pal, it's okay. Morgan told me all about it.
And we're going back to Portland. Isn't that great?
Wait, don't touch me, woman.
Then I'll kiss him. See? He doesn't mind being kissed by a quarterback.